All right, everybody, welcome back to my podcast. Today we're doing something a little bit different. This holiday special Christmas episode. It is Christmas Day 2025 as of this recording of this podcast. And we're going to talk about a holiday movie that's a family favorite everywhere. And it's called Home Alone. So what we're going to do is we're going to break down the movie Home Alone and how it could have been a good horror film. Because you got to think about it. Put yourself back in the 90s. 1990, actually, I think it was, that the movie was depicted as. A 1990 8-year-old kid waking up and realizing that your family's, everybody's gone. There's 15 people in the house the night before, and you wake up, everybody's gone. But at that night, everybody's running around all crazy, and you have the cop in there, the dude Harry. For one, he's dressed up as a cop, asking all these kids, do they live there? Where's your parents at? Are your parents here? Do they live here? All these intrusive-ass questions that these kids aren't even paying no mind to. But there aren't no parents even paying attention that there's a somewhat cop standing in your living room. You're not somewhat concerned as to how he got in there, who let him in there, why he's asking all these questions. And then apparently he's just, oh, we're just making sure everything is safe for the holidays. Okay, well, why? To me, and nowadays, I would be asking, why the hell are you standing in my living room? Who let you in here and why are you here? First of all, you can't come in without a damn warrant unless somebody let you in. So somebody had to have let him in, or he got in some other way. And now why didn't anybody even question that? That's the first thing that would be like, that would be creepy as hell. That nobody even was none the wiser as to why he was standing there. And then arguing with the pizza dude about $122.50. So he's in there dressed as a cop asking kids and parents, you know, who's all there, whatever, do you live here? How did they get in? How did he get in? And how the hell did he get the cop uniform is another question. You're standing there with what appears to be a legit cop uniform. And nobody knows how he got it or even brings up the question after the fact that they were, I don't know, like, for what, it just, it's weird to think that he's just standing there asking all these questions and nobody else is even thinking about it, first and foremost. That should have been like a dead giveaway because I don't think they even show anybody letting them in the house. Alright, so then you got the story about old man Marley. Everything goes on, they're all running around, the whole pop thing goes on, and then, you know, I don't know exactly which scene comes first and all that shit, but we're talking about the scary part. So spilling a soda all over the counter isn't too scary, unless you're Fuller and you're getting your face smashed in by a damn chair up against the wall. That looked like it would have been pretty damn painful. But anyways, they're upstairs, and then they hear something or whatever and triggers their attention, and they yell to the window that, hey, check it out, it's old man Marley. And they start talking about the story about how he's out there salting the sidewalk, and he's the South Bend Shovel Slayer. And they say that in the what was it, 1958, I think. In 58, he murdered his old family and half the people on the block. And he's been hiding in the neighborhood ever since. And they said, why haven't they ever arrested him or whatever? And then Buzz tells him that they haven't found the bodies. It's just a matter of time before he does it again. He salts the sidewalks with the salt that he hides his victims. And the salt that's in the bucket that he salts the sidewalks with apparently turns the victims into zombies. And that's scary. If you think about, well, if it would have been a plot to some type of horror movie, that could be scary. If you put bodies in a bucket of salt and then they come out turned into a zombie or a mummy. No, I think it was mummies, not zombies. My bad. And another thing that's scary is when they say 122.50, I don't know how many pizzas they ordered, but in the 90s, pizza night was rare growing up in a household for us. It was like maybe once every other Friday, every 3 Fridays or so, maybe once a month. But I know 122.50 in 1990, that was probably, shit, probably a whole paycheck. At least 3/4 of one. Unless you were wealthy back then, and I don't know what wealthy back then in 1990 was, because 1990, I was only in kindergarten. But that, yeah, that's probably about a whole week's paycheck. And that's something that, honestly, that's some real shit to think about that could be scary. Getting off the whole let me scare you, that's the economy is getting scary. And that's some real shit. What some other real shit would be when you're the mom and you realize that, you're on a plane and then you realize that you left your 8-year-old son home. That's gotta be a terrifying thought as well. You gotta like think of a parent, man. You're on a plane. I got a kid as well. So you're on a plane. And then all of a sudden you just think and remember and you know for sure. You left your 8-year-old kid at home, and there's no way to stop the flight, turn around, go back to where you were going, or whatever. Like, you're hauling ass on a flight, and there's no way to stop or get a hold of nobody. Because in 1990, cell phones, they were, I don't even know if they were out yet. I know there were pagers just starting to come around, but as a cell phone, I think they were really scarce, and I don't know if anybody even had one. The dad, being a businessman, he may have had a cell phone, but even then, the power was out from that tree that fell down and hit the power line at the beginning of the movie. And that'd be another scene just setting up a plot for a horror film. A tree comes down in a storm the night before, knocks the power out. And then you realize off the 15 people that were in your house, all of them are gone. And then the horror, man, the horror for the mom, though, just thinking that, just thinking that her kid is gone. But then Kevin, being 8 years old, waking up, realizing everybody in the house is gone. But the real horror sets in is when he's watching that movie and that guy goes 1, 2, 10, and then the gunfire starts and that dude Snake gets killed. Kevin yells for his mom at that point. That's when I think he really started to get scared at that point. Okay, so you got to keep in mind that this was in 1990, and put yourself in Kevin's position. You're 8 years old. It's 1990. You're home alone in this big ass house. And he's watching the movie The Grinch. And then when Harry and Marv show up, he can hear him. He hears him say, which way? Oh, let's go around back. It's probably quieter, whatever. We'll go down the basement. But Kevin, when he noticed him, he turns the lights on. And then they haul ass and they get out of there for now. But after he was hiding under the bed, he was hiding and they're scared as shit. You know he was scared, otherwise your ass wouldn't be under the bed. Happy you're home alone now, my ass, boy, you're up under that damn bed. But he gets out. And he only goes outside to yell, he's not afraid anymore. He's not afraid anymore. Until he spots that old man Marley, then an instant fear sets back in. His ass is right back in the house. I don't know if he went back under the bed. I don't know if they show that, but I almost guarantee you that's probably where he at, was his ass slept. He was hiding somewhere. And at that point, there's still been no contact. Like I said, there's only landlines in the 90s. Cell phones weren't around. And then he goes and does that little shopping trip. So he goes to that shopping store, that little convenience store, whatever it is, wherever he was getting a toothbrush. And then at the same time he's getting a toothbrush, Harry and Marv, they're in another house robbing it when they hear that voicemail on the answer machine. Not a voicemail. They hear the message on an answer machine. And it says something about the McAllisters being in Paris. Like they confirmed that they were in Paris and that Kevin was, in fact, home alone. And on top of that, I don't know if it was the same scene or later on in the movie, but you got that lady clerk at the store and she's trying to ask Kevin where his parents are at, where does he live, and this and that. And he's smart enough to know I ain't telling this bitch shit. She's a stranger. How do I know she ain't gonna try and come home and follow me to my damn house or something? But now, at one point in the movie, he ends up going when he's going back from the store. When he's going back from the store, he realizes to himself that he himself is now a criminal. So at that rate, with him stealing from the store, that puts him in the same categories as the people trying to burglarize his house. So not only is he a little sadistic little shit for some of the traps that he sets, we'll get to that in a minute, but he just realized he's a criminal as well for being a thief. And then he steps face to face with the van that Harry and Marv is driving. They almost hit his ass, literally, by a hair. Real close. And he sees Harry's gold tooth when he smiles. I think it was Marv that tells him funerals or something, little buddy, along those lines. I don't know. Something along the lines about a funeral. And then he sees Harry smile with his gold tooth. And then it hits him. And he makes a face like he notices that guy. And that's the point I think he realized that that was the damn cop that was just standing in my living room not too long ago. And because I don't think he's seen him when they come to the house and he heard him when they said go around back. I think he just heard him. So now he's starting to realize who they are. And he's starting to figure out that they're not good people and they're up to something. So after that happens, he's trying to get away and they're starting to wonder why is he going faster, whatever. So he goes and he hides in that little pew at the church, I think it was. I don't think he goes in the church right away. Because later on in the movie, he goes in the church and he sees old man Marley in there and realizes he's not what everybody says he is. And the truth comes out about old man Marley later on in the movie. So can you imagine hanging up ornaments, right? You're hanging up ornaments, you're home by yourself in that big ass house. And you're hanging up some ornaments and you see a reflection in the Christmas ornament itself. You see the reflection of that creepy ass guy looking through the window. And you can see the reflection. He sees it clearly and he tries to yell for his dad, knowing that his dad's not there. And Harry and Marv know that they're not there as well. So he goes upstairs and he has him say he hears him say that they'll be back at 9 o'clock because it's dark. Because they know kids are afraid of the dark. And they know that he's home alone. So they know they're gonna come back, it's gonna be dark, they're gonna try and scare the shit out of him, whatever. He's not gonna be as alert, they think. But what they got in store for him, they got another thing coming. So you got to think about that. Another thing too, jumping back a little bit, is that creepy ass Santa guy that he runs into. He knows he's not the real Santa, whatever, yada yada, and he tells him that he knows he's not the real Santa, but he knows he works for him, whatever. And the Santa Claus dude just seems a little off himself. He seems like he could be a creep alone, right? He gets out, he's hacking, he's coughing, smoking a cigarette, his shit's falling all off, he's all sloppy. And another thing, he's got a busted ass car that don't even start. And then he wants to give Kevin something, candy of all things. Now, if he knew he was a stranger in the 90s, you were taught all the time, do not take candy from strangers, let alone approach one by yourself. But that the whole Santa guy, he was a creep in general, it seemed to me, but he just seemed a little off, a little out there. So now as the criminals, they come back And some of the fun begins and the horror starts to take place for the move for the move that Kevin's about to take, you know, the sadistic route, setting traps and shit. So for Marv and Harry, the script has been flipped. Kevin fucks him up with with irons to the face, fucking paint cans, falling down the stairs, traps, electricity, painful burn, blow torches. He blow torches Harry's head at one point in the damn movie. And then the nail through the foot that Marv got, man, that brings me back because I had a nail go straight through my foot when I was young, all the way through the top, and had to pull it back out, and it made a weird like thump when it got released out of my foot. Oh man, that brings me back to a painful memory. That's a whole nother story. So if there's any way you guys comment, whatever, you want to hear any stories about some real true things that maybe have happened to me in the past, and just let me know. But either way, we'll go back to the some of the fear in the movie and being Marv, I am terrified of spiders. So even being that actor in that movie with that spider crawling across your face, man. And then on top of it, you got your friend above you with a crowbar about to knock the shit out of you, and you don't know why. But then when you realize that that's a man, I'd be like, go ahead, take that chance, knock this motherfucker off of me, get him off here. So then they end up over at the neighbor's house, where he runs upstairs from the basement after running through the flood. And he only to meet up with Harry and Marv. They grab his ass up. But then he realizes that that dude, Old Man Marley, is there. And it ends up being at the end of the movie that he turns out to be a good guy and not a bad guy. Like I said, in the church, he goes through a little spiel, whatever, that all the stuff you hear in the neighborhood isn't really true about me, and explains to Kevin how he's a decent guy and whatnot. And then we got he gets saved by what he thought was the bad guy, but ended up turning out to be the good guy at the end of the movie. And then the bad guys get busted. Mom comes home, and thinking back to being 8, man, if that was real life, it would not have went that way. So cheery and so like festive and holiday movie type. It would have not been that way in real life. It would have been fucking terrifying. Okay, so what if, and I like to say what if, because we all know Home Alone isn't a horror movie. We all know it's a holiday movie, and matter of fact, Merry Christmas to everybody. And we'll go ahead and say everybody that has downloaded my podcast or listened to my podcast, I appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in and sticking around this far. It's going to be a journey. It's just a start. We're getting going. We just got the message today that we're able to monetize, so that will be coming soon as well. And I want to give a shout out to everybody that's been downloading and listening. I see you guys from Germany, Brazil, Singapore, and also the United States, man. Much love. Thank you guys. I appreciate you. And we're going to keep it going. We're going to talk a little bit on what if Home Alone was actually a horror movie. Now, you got a child is abandoned, right? You got two grown ass men stalking his house. And a what if the house itself becomes a trap? Yeah, people are screaming, blood is implied. Teeth are shattered, maybe. It's not a comedy. It's Home Alone. So what if Kevin McAllister, what if he was a horror villain? Let's see it like if we flipped the point of view and we looked at Kevin as a horror villain, he isn't very clever. He's sadistic, right? 'Cause he let's see, he plans, he doesn't plan his little things he sets up for defense. He plans that shit for pain. He smiles when the grown men scream in pain. He lures them in and he watches them from the shadows as it happens. So then you got, and it's like he studies their behavior too, like, you know, like a predator does. They watch their prey. And he sets the traps knowing exactly what they're going to do. You know, they step on him, whatever, going to go through his foot, cut him open, whatever. And he, another thing too, I've always said this as well, he never calls the police until he's done playing with them. So it's kind of like a child version of Jigsaw or Michael Myers with some blueprints thrown in there. And Kevin, he's just protecting himself or enjoying it. And then you got the house itself. So what if the house, what if that was just, it was a haunted, like a haunted location? So if we had the house itself and you could treat the McAllister house like a cursed structure or something, because it's got the silent hallways, you got booby traps, which that could equal like supernatural punishments or something. And then every room in the house is dangerous. And the house is going to know everywhere you're going to step. So every step you're going to take, it's going to know ahead of time. So it's like you could pair it to movies kind of like, let's say, Saw, The Collector, Evil Dead, the Evil Dead Cabin maybe, or even haunted house movies. Or maybe throw a twist in there. Like if the house itself was alive or haunted, what if the house only activated when Kevin was home alone? So he has to be in there by himself, only him to activate. Or then we could think like the Wet Bandits, Harry and Marv. So what if we put them as slasher victims in there? We could reframe Harry and Marv as the victims in the survival horror. Like, for one, they're lured in. Kevin lures them in, right? And then they don't understand the rules. Their fucking injuries, they keep escalating. They should already be dead several times within the movie with some of the stuff that's happened. So you could break down the injuries almost like a damn horror kill count. The one would be the blowtorch to the head. Or like the nail through the foot. I don't know if the nail through the foot would have took him out right away, but you might have lost your life from infection or at least lost a foot. But that iron to the face, coming from that high up, that might have took him out. And the brick to the skull multiple times, that definitely would have, if not killed you, would have concussed you more than anything. And in any real horror movie, those men die, they would have died in the first 20 minutes. So for Kevin's location, we can make it like it's a psychological horror. And this where we could turn it dark. You got child abandonment trauma. Let's see, he'd have imaginary competence, where he's talking to mannequins, hallucinations, where the world feels empty and hostile around him. And then he dissociates, and the burglars may be exaggerated or maybe symbolic type deals, or maybe the traps represent his fear turning into control. That's the psychological part maybe of it. Or we can change it up a little bit, and you can silence the movie instead of Christmas music behind it. Give long shadows to the characters. Maybe do some close-ups of Kevin's eyes, the sadistic-ass eyes. Slow footsteps or screams echoing out in the distance. And this is just if we're turning this into a horror movie. So then what about the... It would be Christmas, so it would have to be something like Black Christmas or Krampus. So like the Christmas horror angle of it, we would have to do, there would have to be some type of holiday cheer or contrast to the Christmas angle. The violence during all the joy, like maybe a parade or something. And, well, I don't know, maybe empty streets. or warm lights that are hiding the dangers, or that you got nothing scarier than a smiling holiday movie with violence just under the surface. So maybe do something like Alfred Hitchcock, where it's maybe like forced. What is it like? What they say, forced horror, where you don't actually see a knife going into a victim. It's just like your brain imagines you've seen it, but you really didn't. It's always fun to go back and watch movies like that. Like, I think Psycho was one of them, where you never actually see anybody get cut. You just, it's a mind fuck. It makes you think you've seen it. Or we can even talk about maybe like alternate endings for a horror version. Like, we could, Kevin, he never stops. The police arrive to a massacre instead of just the wet band is burglarizing. Or the old man in the neighborhood is the real protector. And Kevin grows up and he repeats his behavior. So it could turn into a horror franchise. You could do sequels like Home Alone, The House Remembers, or some shit. So here we gotta ask ourselves too, is Kevin a hero or a monster? Let's see, would it be rated R in reality? And honestly, who's scarier, Kevin or the burglars? So this has been a fun one. I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. And like I said, thank you for tuning in. We laugh because the music tells us to, but turn the volume down, and Home Alone stops being so funny. As we wrap up today's eerie take on Home Alone, it's fascinating how familiar scenes can transform into something chilling with just a shift in perspective. Until next time, keep your lights on and your doors locked, and remember, sometimes the scariest stories are the ones we know best.